My name is Johan Johansson, as you can see here. I work as facilitator, conference, congress organizer. More and more work with strategy for companies when it comes to meeting, how to be really sharp in a meeting strategy, to just like product companies who always make their product a little bit better, their production line a little bit more slim. How could we use those ideas in creating great meetings? That's what I love. That's what I really like. Yes?
Oh, is it like scratching and is it like rapping? Like,
yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you for... No, I don't hear that, but of course. Yeah, is it better now? I talked about how I want to make meetings great using the knowledge other industries have in making products better, services better, making everything better and more interesting. Let's do that when it comes to meeting as well. I'm going to talk about there's a new fashion in the meeting industry, and that's really what it's about. But how should I put this? We are talking about a revolution. We're talking about something that hasn't happened before in our industry, and that's really exciting. But we are living lives in beta. You know what that means? Everything is changing all the time. And what we're going to look at today is something that's really in the beginning. It's in beta mode. It's just begun. And that's the most exciting part to be in, of course. Don't you agree? So just a very quick wrap-up from what I talked about yesterday. And that's just to put the things I'm going to talk about today in a clearer perspective. I always talk about these ones, interaction, dialogue, participation, and I think you're sick and bored and tired of these words after all these days, because I know everybody has talked about how important it is to be, you know, have a dialogue and participate and blah, blah, blah. I want you to run around, jump up and down, and I want you to write things and give to each other, and, you know. So let's not do that. But what I did yesterday, I talked about new meeting shapes, a new digital landscape where you come into rooms where you decide the infrastructure. If you want a blue, beautiful background of all the walls in a meeting room, you can have it. Or if you want a vibrant city, just being there, looking at what people do, you can have it. If you want to be connected with all your workforce all over the world, you can have it. If you want to discuss ideas about ecology, you can do that. And I mean, the quality of the picture and the projector in this room are not acceptable. But what we see here is actually something that works. A room that we built last summer in Stockholm, where all walls were interactive, where the floors highlighted, so you could actually get inspiration of how you should do your meeting, really design your own meeting. Everybody went into this room, became meeting designers, and could communicate all over the world through digital walls. 5,000 persons were actually exploring this really dark picture here. I think actually, I would love everybody to come here and look at my computer, but that's not possible. But here you can see a crisp image. If you don't fall asleep, yes, try that. Yeah, that's better. Yeah, well, the projector isn't that good, actually. So if somebody really... Well, okay, I'm going to try to dance or gesture what you see here. A room full of digital possibilities. 5,000 persons during 3 months really went into this room. And what they gave us back... I collaborated with really interesting digital companies. They gave us back new meeting concepts. It could be modules, it could be setups for networking, it could be set up for creative chaos, there could be presentations, anything you want. They created those meetings. We did not. Isn't this great? So we are completely, you know, connected, and we are 100% digital. Very fine. And we participate very much. And I think this is good. It's inspiration. It's inspirational. And I think we need that. This business needs all the inspiration it can get from everywhere. just like other industries does. So, I've been working in fashion. That's the name also of the presentation. I've been working in fashion. I've been working in architecture and design as well for many, many years. And I asked myself, why aren't these players who influence the fashion industry, the architectural industry, the consumer-driven electronics industry in our business? Why aren't they presenting their visions of trends and tendencies for tomorrow to us, tailor-made for us in the meeting industry? And I said to myself, I'm going to Paris, and I'm going to talk to one of the major players in fashion and lifestyle and tell them, come and bring us your trends and tendencies into the meeting industry. And they said, what is the meeting industry? Who the hell are they? And I tried to explain, of course. And after a lot of explanation, we decided to create a concept called Gather, and it's together with Promostil. And Promostil, does anybody know Promostil?
You should.
Promostil, I shouldn't made Chanel, but they worked with Chanel in the 60s. They boosted Dior in the 70s. They work with all the larger corporations worldwide when it comes to developing new, exciting products. They have done it all, and they create these small fragments of trends and tendencies that I promise you we all wear today in one way or another. So I said to them, let's get into the meeting industry and let's see what you got in your beautiful toolbox that we can lift out and use. And I found some really crazy stuff. I can guarantee you that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about trends and tendencies coming from a completely different angle. But look at how we can use it in our industry. Does it sound interesting? Good, great. Okay, let's kick it. When we started these discussions, I wasn't really convinced. But after weeks of discussion and debate, they convinced me that, I mean, I am technology. I make technology rooms. I love technology. They convinced me that the number one trend that will be influencing the meeting industry will be tangible. And I'm going to explain the word tangible. Tangible is something you can touch, something you can feel, something you can really put your hands on. This is going to be changing the way we work. Not only because the feeling is our second most important sense, but because we are being dehumanized through technology more and more. We are more and more sitting in front of our screens. We are less and less feeling all this, you know, energy coming from persons, coming from objects, coming from real life. And it's a fact that's going to be more of this digital era, this different interfaces where we just can see and not feel each other. So tangible is the word. The one thing you will demand from different, I would say, destinations, providers over the coming years. And what kind of examples do they see out in the world that actually proves this to be true? Okay, hold your horses. First thing, and this is something I am I going to present this to the industry's muscles, like I said yesterday, and brains? Yes. The big buzz when it comes to architecture and interior design is children. Can you come up with anyone more that is more tactile, more intuitive, like you said yesterday when you were listening to me, than children? Can you? I am certainly not. I mean, my son, who's 9, he's trying everything. Squeezing and taking and picking and doing with his hands. And with smaller, of course, tasting everything. I'm happy that I'm not doing that anymore. Well, perhaps tonight. We'll see. So, Erika Mann Primary School by Bauplut in Berlin is the big bus today. It's a primary school where children have decided how to design the interior. And of course, what happens? Well, you have to jump into the room. You have to crawl into the different places where you sit and make your studies. There aren't no, you know, straight corridors anymore. You have to, it's like a track. You have to duck, jump, and work all the time to keep yourself active. Wouldn't that be fun? I mean, just look here, outside. Come in, and go down here, absolutely. And all our senses, poof, get boosted. Swedish, actually, artists making the big buzz worldwide, if we look at the art sector, by making these small dollhouses. Dollhouses where persons can fly over the roof, where anything can happen. And you know, these big promoters of design and art and craft say, wow, this is really something great. So don't be, you know, surprised if the next congress you go to, you'll see a little nice dollhouse standing in the entry, where you can all, you know, remember how it was to be small again, be children again. This is one of my favorite places. It's in New York. It's called Sweetie Pie. It's actually a candy store for grown-ups. Isn't that great? And look at this. This is one celebrity comment. My favorite find for grown-up kid hybrid paradise, Gwyneth Paltrow. Here you can just jump into this big place. Everything is actually like when we were small. Candy and all this romanticism. But it's made for grown-ups and everybody loves it. We have the Little Building Cafe in Tennessee, where everything is small. The chairs are small. The cakes are small. Everything, the house is small. It's made for little people. But it's the grown-up who consumes it. It's tangible, it's touchable, it's fun, inspiring, and it's a bit odd, of course. But, okay, now we come closer. We started out with children as inspiration. And Droog Design, Droog, I have to just give you some information or background. Droog is perhaps the most influential collective when it comes to design and architects the last two decades. They have really reshaped the map of how we interior our homes, how we make buildings, and they turn everything upside down every time they present something. So when they open up their new, brand new studio where they present their products and innovations in New York as well, they made it like a gigantic workshop. Just like we were in school, you know. Having to work with wood or textile. That's the way they present their new products. And what are their idea of the next meeting and conference or office room? Have a look. It's like a big model. You come in to a blank space and you just pushes out the furniture you want to from the walls. I think I want to make a sofa. Yeah, let's do that. Poop, 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 poop. I want to make a chair. Yeah, let's do that. Poop, poop, poop. You decide, you create. Create and tactility again. Wouldn't that be great to come in here and let's create this space together? Instead of you sitting there and I'm standing here and we all soon asleep because of the lightning. And this is coming more and more into office design. This is a brand new concept called Transformer Shelf by Martin Semmer. It's an ordinary shelf at the beginning, but you start to work with it and you create your own style, completely from your own mind. And you play with it and you work with it and you do it as you want. And another chair, and this is, I really love the idea, that this chair becomes, or this kind of utility becomes what you do, depending on how you unpackaging. It comes as a flat package. If you open up in one way, boop, it becomes something you can lay down on. If you open up in another way, boop, it becomes a chair. If you do it in a third way, well, then it's just something you can sit down very quick on. You decide. And you never know. It's random. And we play with things. We play with things, we play with materials. Everything looks like this is state of the art today. Rémy Paré have made mutant furniture. You have to pay at least 10,000 euro to get this piece, at least. Yeah, well, it looks like a child have made it. It looks like something I tried to do when I was like 10 years old. So they are influencing our perhaps a bit monochrome and boring world in a completely new way, and making art, actually. So a meeting room of tomorrow could be an installation like this, made of cardboard boxes. It's instant, it's now. It's like a place where children, you know, hide out. And hiding and playing, instead of being, you know, mass communicative, is something we're also going to be seeing a lot if we want to be innovative in our industry. How to create these places where people can meet up and hide up. And installations like this, we will see more and more. It's like wood houses, you know, made by children, now made by gigantic construction companies, making installations and making... Actually, this is a beautiful idea about how an instant hotel could look in the future. Built upon something that was already there, added a new dimension. Or offices made in minutes by containers. It's like... did I hear Lego? Yeah, okay, I heard Lego. Thank you. You're really on it. Spot on. Instant made by look to look. Top office, this is called. Again, it's a play with shapes, play with forms, but it works and it's for real. Or incidents. Again, Legos. Impossible structures. And you have seen this a lot nowadays. You have seen it by the biggest companies worldwide, creating great architecture. We will see more of that. Impossible buildings tossed together like they were actually flying in the air. Or why not having a chair like this on the next conference, sitting down together? Or why don't we create these chairs together instead? Wooden sculpture by Marc-André Robinson. Beautiful and strange. Or perhaps every time you walk into a room, it shifts color. Or if you open up a door, this is the red room. Yeah, well, now you have to think red. Well, let's try the blue one. Let's try the yellow. Let's try the red. Let's play with colors. Or lightning. For example, why does a floor need to be shaped like this here, completely square? Why can't we just take inspiration from a skateboard environment? Perfect. You have to watch every step, otherwise, whoop, and go around here with a skateboard. That is great fun. That keeps you alert. You won't fall asleep, I promise you. So, the idea of touching things, the idea of being open-minded, the idea of really seeing things from a different perspective, comes into the fine arts world and will come by that into our world. And probably we will see very naive chairs and concepts and installation and store interiors that looks like this. Like Studio Makini in Beda did from Holland. It looks like a mistake actually, but it's the latest fashion. I know you think, okay, this fellow in front of me speaking, he has taken some kind of drugs. But mark my word, we will see this. And we will be happy seeing this instead of seeing this. That's the point. So we will see all this of naive, and this is very interesting, also, craftsmanship as a phenomenon will grow rapidly. The interest for everything that is true in a world that becomes more and more virtual will rise rapidly. And here, I mean, if I was, you know, completely out, you know, on a field just now, this is something that's really coming and we can use it easy in our industry. So if you don't understood the child part, go for the craftsmanship, go for the authentic authenticity part of this presentation, because this is going to be really important. How to be authentic, how to have authentic stories to deliver. Where am I now? Am I in Germany or am I in Malaga? Am I in Sweden or where am I right here, right now? It's hard to tell, isn't it? By just reading from the structure and the construct. This is something, I mean, by computers, we will be able to be everywhere in a second, in just a matter of years. So, suddenly, the real and the tactile and authentic will be very valuable for us. So, white, standard porcelain made in huge fabrics will be replaced by things that are tactile, that are neutral, that are eco-friendly, that comes from the earth, that perhaps makes our lips a bit sore, but we feel. So no more, you know, like paper cups. Go for authenticity, something from here. And I love this. This is actually an art installation in Urs Fischer Gallery. No, actually in Galvin Brown's Enterprise Gallery in New York. And instead, and this is, I mean, this is actually point, putting exactly where point on what I'm meaning. Instead of showing off beautiful sculptures, high gloss art, really interesting pieces, Urs Fischer instead made the whole museum to an archaeological disaster. He just emptied the floors, took the floors away, and dig down into the earth. This is for real inside a house. I'm happy the walls didn't actually fall on the persons going there. So you see, you had these tiny little pieces to be able to walk around. And this is the state of the art. Archaeology, authenticity, the background, where are we from? It comes into jewelry. Trust me, I think some of you have already noticed that, and you already bought those pieces. But Darcy Mario, jewelry from her is beautiful, it's tactile, it's made from clay, it's all handmade and very precious. Even, and this is interesting, this is coming closer again to our industry, even the Polish pavilion that's going to be in Shanghai this year, I mean, it looks high-tech, doesn't it? Really advanced. It's actually folkloristic Polish pattern that are, of course, going all around. Where am I? What's the story? Where are you from? Tell me that story. Show me your craftsmanship. I think this is so beautiful, by the way. So, artists today don't find inspiration in technology and advanced applied concepts. They find their inspiration in human beings, in our background, in our heritage. Even, I mean, it sounds like almost silly, but the Omo people in Africa are now being latest fashion. People who hasn't actually changed their behavior in thousands of years are being put to focus. Why? They are perhaps the only ones left who knows to live precisely perfect in faced with the nature. How to really enjoy the world that it was meant to be from the beginning. We stand on marble floors, walk in straight corridors. They, the few that are left, and the little land that they can use, have still the sensibility, their senses open, and see things from a different perspective. And we love it. What are your stories? That's my question. Could we just take, lighten up for 30 seconds, and please just rise up, please. I know it's the last day, but just get some, you know, blood into your feet and arms. You need that. Please, come up. Just stand up and shake that body. And thank you. Perfect. Just get your focus back again. Because of humans, we need to. Real humans, Omo humans, okay? Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Sit by. Thank you. Have I got your attention again? Ah, thank you very much. So the Omo people, or all native people, becomes of highest interest for us who believe we are very modern people in the search of really reaching out. And this already are affecting our industry very, very brutally by concepts being made up already. This is in Chile, Hotel Tierra Atacama, and you can't see it. You can't see it out in the desert. It's nowhere. It just comes and rises from nowhere. It's a sanctuary which you only find if you know where it is. This is nothing to do about big mega structure and being brave and brag about where you are. I've been here and I won't tell anybody I've been here. And you can't find it. It's made from the same stones and structure you can find in the earth with minimum environment affection. And I mean, this is a beautiful product. Evolution Chairs by Nacho Carbonell. I saw them first time at a gallery in Milano, and they made great success. It was 2 years ago. And think about, you know, how children are, and they find out small places to hide themselves, or try to perhaps, you know, say things to each other in a very discreet manner. Of course, we all hear what they are saying, but they think they are discreet. Here, you and you can sit on one side of this bench, and you can reach out between to each other and say secret messages, perhaps sharing a secret kiss. Everything is very intimate, very personal. I mean, it's not like having a computer on the lap in the knee, is it? No, it's for real, and it's made by clay, and it's, mark my words, it's going to be all over sooner than you think. Or this crazy or great installation called Nests by Benjamin. It's in Hamburg, if I'm not completely out of... He made this full-scale nest, a real hideout, on two of the biggest financial buildings in Hamburg. And here he was spending his days playing to be a bird in his bird nest. And people was, of course, thrilled and saw, wow, who is that man coming up and down from his nest? He's sometimes putting down an egg, and some, of course, other things that birds do, you know, that falling down on the street. And everybody was thrilled. Here you can see he's standing up. Here he's looking out. Could we find a more intimate and secure place than a bird's nest? And just look, and I'm saying again, mark my word, look at the Olympics arena, summer Olympics arena, made in Beijing by Herzog de Meuron. I mean, it's called the bird's nest. Do I need to say anything more? We are going to see a lot of this going on the next couple of years. And we want this. This is called a next generation house. It's a house made in Japan of pine. And here, of these big pine wood sticks, you can work out your new and find your own hideout, your own private place. I want to work down here. I want to lay down here. I want to crawl in here. This is actually, by architecture, telling you this is the next generation house where you find your little place. Anything else than what we have today. And if that's not enough to hide in there, that's not good hideout, then Tam and Videgård Hansson, architects from Sweden, have made big buzz all over the world with the concept hotel camouflage, that are actually glass cubes hanging in the trees. So it's not actually visible from anywhere, but when you are in one of these hideouts, if you are standing inside here, you have complete 360 degree view. You can really embrace nature, but nobody embraces you. Beautiful. So, by that, I would just like to take 1 second to see how does that influence my work when I work with concept development, for example, the meeting industry, how can actually you use this in your daily work if you want to be brave, want to lead your industry? I made a concept called Fjällnäs. It's not a concept, it's a destination. It's a small hotel in the Swedish Alps. I mentioned it yesterday very briefly. And I mean, it's a village of, I think, 400 people. And they have this one hotel that nobody has heard about before. It was actually the first mountain hotel in Scandinavia, at least Sweden, but perhaps even in Scandinavia, they say. So a lot of prominent people has been there. Great history, great story. But there are thousands of those ones today. How many can't you just count mountain hotels? And there was a blank paper. What should we do with this Fjällnäs? And we knew this information. We could use that information that we just had looked about. And we said, okay, who are actually the proper owner of this land that this place are resting upon? Who are they? Well, they're the Sami people. Do we ever borrow the land from the Sami people up there? How can we respect them? How can we tell their story? And the Sami people, they come from the sun. They are people of the sun. They were born by the sun, they believe. That's their story. That's their fairy tale. So the symbol of Fjällnäs had to be, of course, the sun. A big homage to the natives, saying, we believe in your story. I mean, this is just another one. It's beautiful, absolutely. I love it. I mean, behind there is the beautiful lake. If you have to move yourself when you are at Fjällnäs, you have to take the kick. Have anybody used a kick before? Oh, that's a very special experience. Especially after a classic New Year's party in Sweden, where you consume some things. Then you use a kick, and you walk around this beautiful paradise. But that's just another one. There's millions, or at least thousands of them. So we said, what story is there behind? Well, this is an image. One of the few images. I actually found it in Texas, on the University of Texas, where the ones who had this image left. This is the first image that I know, and many others know, that foreigners have made from a meeting with the Sami people back in the 16th, 1700s. They came there. And what did they find out when they met the Samis? And this is really interesting for our story. Well, it was the women who came forward and welcomed foreigners. They were the leaders of the tribe. Is that modern? Is that on the spot what we're going to see in the next years? Oops. Oops, oops, oops. Yes, I believe so. They were the first clue. And among other things, the Sami there were both, all, you know, hunting was everything back in those days. And who were the hunters? Well, all visitors back then were thrilled to say both men and women were actually hunters. They were equal. And this is perhaps the first time in many, many hundreds of years, thousands of years, we have had that in our community. So we try to really embrace and understand. I mean, the Samis have been a people, perhaps like any other native people, violated by us, the white men, especially men. They believe that they actually live in paradise every day. And they can't understand why we go in and try to ruin paradise by making roads, building houses, making infrastructure projects. It was perfect from the beginning. Can't you just respect that? And their fairy tales and stories describe a completely different way how they look on the agenda, how they look on the calendar. They have no four traditional seasons that we are so cemented in when it comes to the meeting industry and the experience industry. They see it in a completely different way because they see when the different stages of nature change, and then they change. They have much more fine calibrated view of nature and the different times of the year. And then their stories. There are ancient stories of mysticism and excitement. Very native, very simple, look from our perspective, but very beautiful if you choose to look at it another way. So we created, of course, we used their story, created 8 different seasons instead of 4 or 2. In Fjellnest, you can actually sell 8 different experiences instead. And every one of those colors comes from the Sami way. We learned the language of Sami that's close to dead, actually, today. Which is called the Pakastalvi, the Jula. They are really beautiful ways of describing different times of the year. Just listen to Black Snow. It's like a poem, isn't it? So we created these 8 different stories about the life in Fjellnes. And even if, I mean, everything here is so cool and it's so great, it's perfect, it's made, the closeness to nature, the meeting one-on-one, and the cottage made by Samis 100 years ago in the middle of nowhere was the premium product to communicate and sell. So that's give me, and then you can say, okay, but what happened? Was that some kind of success or was it just a beautiful fairy tale? Well, 3 months after they opened their doors and those stories were communicated all over the world, and I think I mentioned it yesterday, they were placed number 6 in New York's yearly ranking of the 44 places, countries, worldwide to go. They were on the hot list of Condé Nast Traveler, and they were also in Tatler's magazine, in so many places, just 3 months after the opening. I know countries have worked years to come into that hot list. And here we are with a story about true authentic values. That was all, friends. It was quick, perhaps dirty. I hope it was a new way of being inspired and looking at the meeting industry. Please, if you are, you know, having interesting thoughts and ideas, I think we should, you know, not take it here, because I think we should just go out and chill and enjoy, not perhaps the sun, but, you know, everything we want to do before the night. And I say thank you for listening very much. Thank you.